I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Utah's all-day companion.
Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program this evening. I want to thank Jaron Hall for being part of our Players Club last hour, just like he is every Monday night with us on KSL's Unrivaled. Devin Cavusi from the University of Utah going to be joining us. What I like about Devin is... He's
wow, that's nice.
Here's what I was going to say. Well, no, because they're having a tough time.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have to talk about this because I'm like, how do we handle this? But Devin's a mature kid.
Yes.
Mature man.
Yes.
So he's like, he doesn't do the whole, like, I don't want to do the show this week.
He can man up to things.
He can man up to it. Yeah. He knows how to do it. It's a rough time for Utah fans, which is exactly where we're going to be starting this 8 o'clock hour. Scott breaking down a little bit. San Diego State for their second loss in a row. A triple overtime, I wouldn't say thriller. It was not so thrilling at the end for Utah fans. Sorry, 805 cut.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Now the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. All right, so I asked you over the weekend. I mean, I try not to ask you all the questions before we get to the show on Monday, because you and I both are watching totally different games. We're following different things.
Because I can only say it once. If I had to say it twice,
well, you did say it a lot, though.
I'd forget.
I hate football. Lots of texts from Scott this weekend of hate football.
That's all I need to.
And I know that's not true. I know you're lying about that. You don't hate football. You have a she's a fickle friend. I'll say that.
Yeah. I hate the state of affairs with things right now.
Well, so let's talk about that.
It's demoralizing.
The part that I think is the most demoralizing for Utah fans is this is not a feeling that they've had very often with Kyle Whittingham as the head coach. Losing games has happened. Losing games in this fashion and against opponents that they normally beat 2 weeks in a row is something that doesn't happen very often with Kyle Whittingham. So what has changed? On the flip side, we were just talking about BYU and the culture change, the difference of what they had gone through a year ago versus what Utah went through a year ago. And we thought that they learned a lot of lessons last year during those five games, but they're struggling 1-2 now as they go into Pac-12 play this weekend with Wazoo coming to town. So what have we learned about Utah?
It feels like this Utah team is kind of just – going through the motions. There's no urgency. There is no fun. There is no excitement. It feels like they just think they're going to roll off the bus and just show up and win. And then you have, you have some of the. I'm not really clear about what these guys are doing. You know what's the game plan? I don't know what the game plan is. It just doesn't seem like everyone's confident in it. And if the players aren't executing your game plan, and then it's too complicated. It's not effective. It doesn't work. It doesn't. You know, you got to get your players out playing and executing and doing well. Here's what I've come to understand, though. Here's where I've landed on all this. Utah's going to be just fine. They're going to be more than just fine. And the reason is they've played about as bad a football as they possibly can. I mean, it just did not look good. Across the board, special teams, defense, offense, coaching, I mean, everything, just not good. And as ugly as it's been, they've had chances to win both of these games they've lost. They've been in them. Okay? They're not being blown out. It's not being, you know, this is not a bad football team. So they can correct. Everything is correctable. And quite frankly, I think Utah corrected it at the end of the game. And that was, they're just, all of a sudden they got a sense of urgency. The only thing they changed was one player. One player.
Kind of an important one, though.
I know it's important, but he wasn't the only, the quarterback by himself can't change things.
So
all of a sudden, it's like, what, this team magically decides to be a different team? And it's like, yeah, they kind of do, because the electricity, the emotion, the intensity, the focus, everything changed when Utah started coming back in that game. Like, up to that point, they were just kind of walking around feeling sorry for themselves. And I think everyone, I even think the coaches, and I think everyone's just like, and then a player just said, you know what? We're going to win this game. I'm not going to accept this. Cam Rising even got in the huddle, even told us that. He says, I kind of jumped on these guys.
I laid into those guys in the
huddle. Yeah, that's awesome. And that was awesome.
So was he – okay. So
and guess what? Cam Rising was not perfect. He just brought this energy and this electricity. Level. And I'm like, okay, BYU's playing with this energy and Cam Rising. And it's fascinating to me how it changes everything. So Utah's solution to all of this moving forward is change your attitude. it's almost like everyone's so like, you guys are just playing football on a Saturday afternoon for your university. That's all it is. Let's not make this out to be anything more. Let's not be so downtrodden and heavy laden and, oh, and I hate football kind
Can
of
I quote
my,
you on
mindset.
That? Oh, you just replay that Chewbacca noise that Scott makes for us.
That's my Homer Simpson.
So here's what I wanted to ask you. Is
that not enough?
No, but I mean, is Charlie Brewer not going to be the because Kyle Whittingham?
Charlie Brewer is going to be the starting quarterback this week.
Charlie Brewer is?
No, Charlie Rising. Cam Rising.
You're trying to be as cryptic as Coach Whittingham is. Charlie Rising.
Here's what Coach Whittingham said after the game. He said, "We will make a decision on who the starting quarterback will be. You will not know who that is, but we will. We're not having a quarterback competition."
So they're just trying to keep it cryptic for the sake of Washington State not being able to know exactly.
And the reality is,
Washington State can probably read through the lines and go, "Yeah, Cam Rising is going to be the guy this weekend."
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
If you're the betting man, you'd say Cam Rising is going to be the guy. Though
Cam Rising was a spark. I mean, he really was, and it was one. He can do things with his legs. Charlie Brewer can't.
Okay,
stronger arm. I was surprised by that, but he's got a pretty strong arm.
What about the okay, but hold on, I'm so confused because this was supposed to be the Charlie Brewer was supposed to change everything for Utah.
What changed in the
last 3 weeks?
That's where I'm shaking my head. Okay, I'm shaking my head and going through and watching that whole game, I was like, he's not comfortable. Like he's just not feeling, and even when he was making decisions, they weren't decisive like he'd been in the past. They were kind of, the balls were in the wrong location, and that was something, his accuracy had been so good, and it was like he had been shell-shocked. I don't know if the pressure of the defense and bringing all that pressure got to him. I don't know what it was, but he wasn't comfortable in there at all, and it just permeated through the whole team. And so hear me, you know, how do I feel? Because you know what I did? I said, that guy's going to be the Pac-12 player of the year. But Charlie Brewer is going to have an amazing season. And I also thought, boy, this offensive line last season in the shortened season, man, they look great. And it's the same guys. I mean, all these guys have played. All these guys on this offensive line for Utah have playing experience. You're not starting out a guy who's never played a game. And the offensive line for Utah has been terrible. This has not been good. And a lot of it is they've had guys in new positions and all these different things. So I think they've figured out who that group is going to be. And that group got a lot of playing time last week, and they got better as the game went on. So I'm not I'm just telling you, let this season play out and see where it ends up. But even though Utah lost, and it's the worst thing that possibly could happen, they can still go to the Rose Bowl.
That's a wild prospect. That's good news.
And
though,
it's all in their hands.
It's all good news. I mean, look, if they would have gone 3-0 against all those same teams, it's the exact same position they'd be in right now.
Exactly.
Going into the Pac-12 play.
They'd be ranked high and possibly...
Only we'd probably have some more faith in Charlie Brewer being your starting quarterback.
Yes.
Just those things.
Just a couple of things. Yeah. Right. Minor details.
Let's take the break. We'll come back. Aaron Rodgers' man bun is currently thrown for 3 touchdowns. Just the man bun, Scott. Not even... We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.